The coolest part about this segment is the things we get to learn that we had no idea have gone on, and yet some of them we'll remember. We just didn't realize maybe they were that impactful, because at that point in our lives, we just weren't paying a whole lot of attention. I think that's where we're going today. It's Weird Toronto History, award-winning author, storyteller, historian, and damn handsome bearded man, Adam Bunch, is here. And good day to you. We're going all celestial and stuff today.
Yeah, I thought with the eclipse coming up on Monday, it might be a good time to sort of look upward in our history as well, because these sort of events have been happening above Toronto for a long time now.
Well, we often look downward in history, don't we? So this is probably a nice change. Okay, let's start with that. Let's start with the eclipse. Adam, I mean, it's not the first time, but it's been like there's only a handful in the last 100 years in Canada where it's been a total solar eclipse. And, you know, I think Manitoba was one, Northwest Territories was one, you know, stuff like that, right? So this one is particularly special. But if we go back in time, we do find some other really cool stories that involve our city.
Yeah, so this time around, Toronto's just outside the totality. We won't get the full thing, which is why so many people are going to head to Hamilton and Niagara. But a century ago, in 1925, the city did find itself right in the path of the totality, which, of course, was very big news there. You can look at the old newspaper articles from 100 years ago, and they're just filled with excited pieces, sort of preparing everyone for what's going to happen. It's going to be this Saturday morning in January, where all these stories about sort of businesses giving their employees an hour or so off. The big department stores like Eaton's open an hour later that morning, so that
that's a throwback right there. Just Eaton's. Well, you're very well done.
Yeah, Eaton's and Simpson's right across the street. What's now that Bay building. Both gave their employees an extra hour in the morning so they'd be able to check it out. All the big bank towers downtown were opening up their roofs so everybody, all their employees could head up there and see it. Hotels were hosting special rooftop breakfasts for the morning. There are even stories about whether or not the city's going to turn on the street lamps during the darkness. It's only a few minutes, but you know, what about safety? And even jewelry stores sort of preparing for their own employees to go out to look at it in shifts so that they're not abandoning the jewelry stores in case anybody decides to plan an eclipse.
That could be a good movie, hey? Like The Italian Job. It's the jewelry heist that happens during an eclipse. If that happens, by the way, you better come back here to Adam Bunch and pay him for that.
Yeah, hopefully no one getting inspired this time around. But in the end, that 1925 eclipse in Toronto was a total bust. It was this dreary January morning. The sky was completely overcast. As far as I know, no one in Toronto got even a glimpse of it at all. Though there was one Torontonian who was determined to try. The Toronto Star had this reporter, Fred Griffin, one of the old legends of the old newsroom, who they decided to try to send up above the clouds to get a look at it that way. They convinced the Air Force to send a couple of old 1925 biplanes into the skies above Toronto and sort of the area north of the city. They flew down from Camp Borden and had one of the Star reporter, Fred Griffin, on board. And he writes this sort of dramatic, poetic article about his flight up into the clouds, trying to break through with the time of the eclipse just arriving. The engine of this biplane cuts out. They end up having to make an emergency landing in a farmer's field outside Newmarket, and they're stranded there, trudging through the snow, desperately trying to find a phone to get a backup plane when the eclipse comes and goes. They're not even in the path of the totality there. They just see the clouds dim a little and then get brighter, and they've missed the whole thing. And the backup plane, the second plane that the Air Force sent up, it does manage to get all the way to the top of the clouds to snap a photo. But by the time they get there, they've missed the moment of the full eclipse, and they're still not fully through the clouds. So there's this big front page photo on the Toronto Star, I guess the next day, which you can barely tell with the photos of at all. And it seems last time we got lucky enough to get this close to this spectacular celestial event, no one here actually got to see it at all. So fingers crossed for better weather this time around.
Well, that's a much better story than we booked our hotel a year ago for $100 and got canceled, and now it's $1,000. I just feel like that's just a nicer story. Very good. I love it. Adam Bunch is here. I'm Shane Hewitt. Weird Toronto history. Halley's Comet is one of the most mystical of all of the storylines. It goes back forever in writing. It was in the mid-80s that we saw it really come around. Last time, it doesn't come until for another 40 years or something, 35 or 40 years, is going to be around again. But Toronto centers into the Halley's Comet story too, from a different visit.
Yeah, so we've had three Halley's Comet visits, and you're right, the next one's not till 2061. I think it just turned around at its furthest point a few months ago, so it's got a long way to come back. Last time it was here was, I think, 1986, which was kind of another bust. It was better viewed from the southern hemisphere, and light pollution kind of made it harder to see here. But the first two times it came to Toronto since the city was founded, this comet that's been appearing in the sky for thousands of years, long before Toronto was built here, Indigenous people would have been seeing it in the sky. There have been stories about it being sort of a bad omen, a portent of doom, going back thousands and thousands of years. They say heralded the downfall of Attila the Hun. One pope excommunicated it. And even though they figured out sort of the science behind it in the 1700s and knew that it was coming back in 1825, people in Toronto and all across what's now Ontario seem to have been pretty afraid of it. There are stories of people going to church more regularly when the comet was coming because they were afraid and needed to sort of mend their ways, of parents using it to frighten their children, that if you're not good, the comet will get you, and of other people refusing even to look out their window because they sort of felt that sinking feeling of it being a bad omen. So everyone seems to have been pretty relieved when the comet left in 1825. But in 1910, when it came back again, now the biggest problem was that everyone was so excited to see it, and sort of the crowds and the excitement caused its own problems. There were still people who were afraid. One teenage girl in Montreal is said to have heard a door slam, thought it was the comet, and keeled over dead of a heart attack even. In Toronto, everyone was so excited that it caused big problems. One guy who had a telescope, pretty rare back then in the 1910, offered to have people come over and look at his telescope in his backyard in the annex. He got overrun by hundreds of people and eventually had to shut the whole thing down. There's a lawyer in the West End who wants to see it one night, so he heads out onto his porch and gets locked out of his own house in his pajamas, is making a bit of a racket trying to get back in. His landlord hears it and comes out on the porch with a shotgun and nearly kills the guy who wants to see the comet. Maybe one of my favorite weirdest ones is that when five young men gather in Riverdale Park, you know, still one of the most spectacular spots to look at the sky in Toronto today, they're there in the middle of the night, and in old Toronto the good, the parks close at 11 p.m. sharp, so the police show up and arrest them all for being in the park after dark, because you're not allowed to gather in a park to look at the comet in 1910 Toronto.
It's amazing. Boy, humans, we got scared at everything. Well, in today's world, we would just cancel the comet if we didn't know what it was. So I suppose things maybe have not changed a whole lot. Well, a whole lot. Weird Toronto history. Adam Bunch is here. BizarreToronto.com. Coming up in May, Festival of Bizarre Toronto History. If you want to check it out, go give it a search online and learn more about it. Adam, thank you very much for being here. Appreciate it.
Thanks as always.